Herzlich willkommen hier auf dem blauen Sofa zu einer Premiere. Wir haben eine Autorin, das ist Frau Xiaolulu Guo, in China berühmte Filmemacherin, Autorin, in England berühmte Filmemacherin, Autorin. Sie hat in Deutsch 2 Bücher geschrieben, aber es sind wahrscheinlich, how many books you wrote?
I published 8 books so far, and some are not published. So.
Das heißt, wir werden noch eine Premiere haben, also nicht nur dieses Buch hier vorstellen, sondern auch den Lektor dieses Buches dabei haben, Herrn Patrick Hutsch. Und aus 2 Gründen. Einmal, weil mein Englisch noch schlechter ist als das von Dieter Koslick, sodass ich lieber Deutsch rede und er es übersetzt. Aber er ist auch der Lektor dieses Buches und er wird vielleicht auch etwas zu der Form dieses Buches sagen. Denn wenn Sie es durchblättern, dort sind, wo haben wir es jetzt? Da sind zum Beispiel auch chinesische Schriftzeichen drin. Es sind Karten eingezeichnet von der Reise, die eine junge Frau gemacht hat. Und dieses Buch hat den wunderschönen Titel Wörterbuch für Liebende. Es ist ein Roman. Zeigen Sie doch mal, wo die Handschriften drin sind. Und diese Handschriften im Buch ist natürlich etwas ganz Besonderes. Why did you say this is a novel book and not a Notizbuch?
A notebook.
When I started to write this novel, it wasn't a novel. It was an English exercise notebook for me to understand how to speak English. So I have been living in China for 30 years, and then 5 years ago I came to London, and then the day I arrived in London, I write down all the vocabulary I learned from English people. And in a notebook. And eventually, when I look at the notebook, I have like the big notebook, which is my English grammar exercise. And suddenly I thought, that's a novel. I don't need to do any work. I just need to write a character. And that's how it comes from.
Sie erzählen die Geschichte in diesem Buch einer jungen Frau, einer jungen Chinesin, die nach England kommt, um dort Englisch zu lernen. Und es ist wie ein Tagebuch aufgebaut, also es werden Geschichten erzählt. Und das Erstaunliche ist auch, dass die Sprache sich verändert. Es ist in Englisch geschrieben, aber wenn man die ersten Seiten aufblättert, dann heißt es, I'm in London oder the weather is not good. Also immer kurze Sätze, die im Laufe des Buches immer länger werden, immer interessanter werden. Und wenn andere Leute beschrieben werden, dann sprechen sie ein interessantes Englisch. Was haben Sie als Lektor eigentlich ein Gefühl gehabt, wenn Sie sich verändernde Sprache sehen?
Es war natürlich für mich als Lektor eine enorm große Herausforderung, weil wir nicht schlichtweg nur die Fehler, die gemacht werden, in diesem Pitch in Englisch übersetzen konnten, sondern wir mussten die richtigen Fehler, die ein Chinese im Deutschen macht, finden. Und das ging dann eben so weit, dass ich mit der Übersetzerin zusammen, mit der Autorin und einem Sinologen gearbeitet habe, sodass wir halt dann die richtigen Fehler, die ein Chinese, der kein gutes Deutsch spricht, dann eben auch macht und dann eben umsetzen, so dermaßen. Und es war natürlich interessant zu sehen, weil normalerweise als Lektor versucht man immer das Beste rauszuholen und die Fehler rauszuholen. Aber hier musste man die richtigen Fehler reinbauen. Also es war genau der umgekehrte Weg.
Sie schreiben am Anfang des Buches, nichts in diesem Buch ist wahr, außer der Liebe zwischen ihr und ihm. Not in this book is real. Without the love between the man and the wife. Is it true?
And your English now is like in my book, but it's better than my book. I think people always say this book is about the East meets the West. But for me, sometimes I think East meets the West is cliche, a lazy way of saying things, because the cultural difference now is so overused, this concept. And I think this book is really a love story between a man and a woman. But the man just happened as an Englishman, and he hasn't been bisexual. And the woman is happened in this book is a Chinese woman. Plus, she's a peasant woman. Plus, she came from a very communism collective background. And the book is about these two cultural clash completely, but in a very individual level. So I think it's a political argument and there's a cultural debate. It's completely underlined, this two lovers conversation.
Sie haben es verstanden oder soll ich schnell übersetzen? Sie haben das mit Sicherheit verstanden, Sie können das viel besser als ich. Dieser Clash of Civilizations, will ich mal so nennen, oder der Kampf der Kulturen, wie wir das Buch von Huntington ins Deutsche übersetzt haben, findet ja auf drei Ebenen statt. Einmal tatsächlich auf ganz banalen Ebenen wie Essen, wie das Wetter oder aber auch wie der Sex. Wie haben Sie das erlebt? Oder ist das Ihre Geschichte, die in diesem Buch drin steht? Yes. Haben Sie es? Is it your own story? The clash of civilization are basic, very basic themes like the weather, like food, like sex.
Well, of course, every time being interviewed, the first question if it's autobiography or not. I mean, for me, it's not important this question, although it's important for the readers. But I think I'm a fiction writer and I'm a storyteller, and it's very important to base my own feeling, my interior feeling, my honest observation of life, of myself. But that's not enough to write a novel. And I think what is crucially important is to be observe the whole society around you and to steal, to collect other people's pain and joy, to somehow to cook it, to transfer into my book, which I think has this ambition, wants to portray the communication problem nowadays in the contemporary society between two people. And I think that problem now is so strong between you and me, between me and the readers, between two lovers, between an internet user and an internet receiver. The communication is so cold and abstract. And I think this novel is about how we try to communicate, even with our lovers, because we don't communicate, whether in the kitchen or in the cinema or on the bed or in a public event. The communication is so abstract. And for me, by answering your short question in such a long way, yeah. I want to say, because language is identity for me. So when I lived in China for 30 years, I write in Chinese several books, but I never realized I was a Chinese writer. And that moment when I came to the West, Europe, 5 years ago, I suddenly realized I'm a Chinese writer. And I suddenly realized whether I use Chinese language to write a novel, or I use English language to write a novel, or I use German to write a novel, it's completely a political decision. And it's such a strong identity for me. And now this novel is written in English, and I gain completely different perspective of looking at it, being Chinese and what is China and what is me outside of China. And the novel is about self-discovery of Zed. And of course, I think it's myself as well.
What are the differences between the two languages, English and Chinese? In this book is an example that for family and home, you have one sign in Chinese. In Europe, it is different things.
Well, in Chinese, we say jia. It could mean family or home or a house or somewhere you want to go. Or it's a nostalgia feeling. It's a nostalgia concept. But that is a profound feeling. When I came to Europe, when I was on my own, when I was 29, the profound loneliness of not having a home, whether in China or in the West, because I'm a drifter of my life. So I came from very south of China, a little village. And then I drift to Beijing, the biggest city in China, for 10 years. And then I drift to London. And then I went to Paris to live for 1 year. Now I'm in Germany for 6 months. And I felt, because I was almost on my own to write novels and make films, the concept of home is such a big thing for a Chinese, because we usually think China, the value, the main value of individual is to have family and have a home or jia, whether it's meaning family or a house, because Chinese culture is very about roots. But then I realized that concept doesn't work when I came to Europe. It's about encounter or meeting, communication and the public life, not about you have a family, and that's not the only value. And I think that also creates my kind of intellectual loneliness, not physical loneliness. So intellectual loneliness is I write in Chinese, and when I live in Europe, I couldn't communicate with Chinese readers, and I have to write in European language somehow to make a second home between me and the readers. And because I'm so impatient with this communication, so I must write in a second language where I inhabit it. For example, now I'm in this country and I felt shameful. I couldn't really somehow communicate in German, and I would love to. And that's always my obsession with the language, and that's how this novel started, as a very linguistic idea, the linguistic approach, like a dictionary. But the dictionary was completely wrong, and it's a wrong dictionary for a naive young person to establish the whole book as yeah. dictionary.
Das ganze Buch ist wie ein Tagebuch aufgebaut, habe ich schon gesagt, nach Monaten, und über jedem Kapitel ist eben auch ein aus einem Wörterbuch ein Satz genommen. Also jetzt zum Beispiel hier physical. Deshalb meine Frage nochmal an den Lektor. War es denn schwierig, diese Übersetzung aus dem Englischen? Sie haben das Buch in Englisch geschrieben. You wrote the book in English. Ne? Das ins Deutsche zu übersetzen. Es liest sich ja, als wäre diese junge Frau, die ein Jahr eben in London lebt, durchaus auch in Deutschland gewesen. Also es ist kein wörtliches Übersetzen, sondern haben Sie das, was Sie vorhin gesagt haben, sozusagen die Mentalitätsebenen in die Sprache auch mit hineingenommen?
Nein, das haben wir natürlich versucht. Und gerade die Übersetzerin Anne Rademacher hat da eine hervorragende Arbeit geleistet. Und ja. Wie gesagt, wir haben mit einem Sinologen zusammengearbeitet. Das war natürlich auch in dem interkulturellen Austausch dann enorm wichtig. Und sicherlich hätte dieses Buch auch aus der Perspektive einer Chinesin geschrieben werden können, die in Deutschland lebt. Sie geht ja auch auf Reisen. Sie ist ja, ja dann noch in Berlin ja. zum Beispiel unterwegs. Oder sie kommt nach Venedig. Also ja. das auf jeden Fall. Aber man hat schon sehr, sehr viele Aspekte gemerkt, wo eben genau das, was sie gerade erzählte, dieser Clash of Civilization, wie wir es ein bisschen überspitzt vielleicht nennen, das auch schwierig gemacht hat, gewisse Dinge im ersten Moment auch für mich als ersten Leser richtig zu verstehen. Also man musste sich schon gelegentlich nochmal hinsetzen, ein zweites Mal überdenken. Man hat sich auch dabei erwischt, dass sie Sachen geschrieben hat in diesem Buch aus ihrer Sicht als Chinesin, als chinesische Autorin, die mir auch gezeigt haben, wie beschränkt und teilweise dumm wir auch denken. Es gibt eine kleine...
Was wäre das?
Ja. Es gibt beispielsweise einen kleinen Absatz, wo die beiden Liebenden ein kleines Streitgespräch haben, oder sie listet einige Streitthemen auf, unter anderem dann eben auch Tibet. Und sie ja. als stramme Kommunistin, die Erzählerin, sagt einfach, okay, was soll das? Hätten wir es nicht gemacht, hätten sie Amis es gemacht.
Ja.
Und das war natürlich genau zu dem Zeitpunkt, als dieses Thema sehr, sehr virulent wurde. Und das waren für mich als Lektor und als Leser dann auch wirklich Momente, in denen ich ganz kurz da saß und dachte, sicher, wir müssen da an manchen Punkten auch nochmal ganz neu draufschauen und über manche Dinge ganz neu denken.
What are the differences between China, the mentality in China and Europe or in England? What are the main differences?
That you need to ask our Prime Minister to answer.
If you come to
I live as a,
yes.
I live as a very, I think, individual artist. I think what I want to examine from this book is truly how individual is not individual. Is the case of the history. So what I want to examine from Miss Z and the Englishman with our name in the book is when two of them naked, because when you say culture is a clothes, so you wear this culture different clothes, you say, okay, I speak Chinese and I eat Chinese food with chopsticks and I write in Chinese, but that is a clothes you have. So what I want to do with my two characters strip them off naked, to examine them truly if they are the victim or they are the victors of their culture and history. Mm-hmm. And through this book, actually, the English hippie man lost his identity. So he became this Chinese punk in the end of the book. What in they swapped the identity. She in the beginning as a Chinese peasant, preoccupied with this kind of a communism idea, peasant idea, being collective, being at home, to love home, and innocent about Western freedom or Western so-called democracy. Very, very innocent and ignorant. But in the end of the novel, she become this Western hippie man because they swap their identity. And it's very, very cruel cultural exchange because she steals his language. So she speaks very elaborate, beautiful academic English to diminish his existence. Mm-hmm. And he, as Western hippie sculptor in the book, lost his language. In the end of the novel, he can only make a sculpture in a bath. Yeah. And completely lost his voice. And actually, in the beginning, when I wrote the manuscript, it was very long, 800 pages. And I have this title called A Woman Lost Language. And the title is also very, it's a wrong grammar. And I think it means the woman who lost language, or the woman has lost her language, or at the moment, the woman is losing her language. Because losing language means you also gain another kind of identity, and it's very ambiguous political concept. So that was my kind of working title when I was writing it. But now it's a dictionary. And when I wrote that novel, my reference book is Oxford English Dictionary, because I found very funny, in the Oxford English Dictionary, there's kind of a censorship, and there's a cultural perspective to explain some words. For example, weather beat. In England, I heard these words, weather beat. It's about English people are weather beat because bigger weather, like sunny weather, they are happy, and English weather, depressed weather, they are sad. And the weather beat in the dictionary is very interesting being translated. And if you look, the Chinese English Oxford Dictionary, it's translating into something else. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very interesting. So I wrote this dictionary to show her understanding of Western culture, but perhaps all mistaken.
Yeah. Why is European culture so interesting for you and the young lady in your book?
I think European...
In the book, the young lady is reading some novels from Virginia Woolf.
That's obvious. The English, the European culture is the fundamental of the Western culture. I mean, it's obvious. It's like you ask a Chinese why Zen, Buddhism, so important in China, and because it's, for me, I think Europe is essence of the Western blue culture. Yeah. We say in China, we say Chinese culture is yellow culture, is a soy culture, is a culture about land, the roots, the soy. And we're not a culture of drifting or take the shape.
Why is it so interesting, the American way of life, so interesting for China? I was 6 days in Beijing during the Olympic Games. And Beijing looks like an American city. It looked like Shreveport, Louisiana, with his skyscrapers. And you have Starbucks, you have Burger King, you have, like in an American city. Is this a goal for Chinese development to live like an American way of life?
I think all I can say is that it's a consequence of American globalization. That's what happened in China. It's a consequence of the globalization. And that is not big talk, because it's a victim. And of course, I think what is important is I don't look what's happening in China now as a victim. And I think what is amazing happening in China is is we went through the very miserable history for the last 200, especially last 200 years. Because before that, we had amazing civilization from all the dynasty. But especially, I think, from the Opium War, China went down, historically went very down, economically and culturally. And because we didn't go in through this Western industry capitalism time, as everyone did in the whole world, we didn't. We passed from last emperor feudalism directly to socialism in the 60s yeah. or 50s. And that made China the last 100 years very chaotic, extremely chaotic and full of poverty. So what I see as a new generation of Chinese, say I'm not from 60s, I was born in 70s. Mm-hmm. And I see this kind of history kind of transform, extremely radical and painful, but also profoundly interesting. As an intellectual, I want to write about this kind of going up, radical development, radical change, and the loss we have underneath. And these two, you cannot value, say, that's wrong or right. You cannot say black and white thing because it's so complex for such a nation. And I think it demands very, very, I guess, more than PhD thesis. I think it's extremely complex, interesting phenomenon. And I think as my role, I'm no politician, no whatever, and I'm a novelist. And that's my position, to write about it mm-hmm. rather than analyze it. Analyzation in a novel will be a mistake, I think. Yeah.
Let's talk about sex. In, okay. you wrote in these books, in China, sex is a taboo. And in the Western world, everything is with sex appeal and so on. Is it so?
I think in this book, sex is extremely important because it's about a young person grow up, coming of age, discover yourself. When you discover yourself, it's intellectually and physically. Intellectually, it's very, I think it's always quite clear, like, oh, messy, whatever you say. But sexual discovery is crucially interesting for a young woman. And I think this book is about a young woman on this journey, the journey from the East to the West, but also not only intellectual journey, but also the physical journey to discover yourself, because self, S-E-L-F, I don't know what's in German.
Yeah.
Self, in Chinese concept, is a negative concept because we live in a very collective society. So I came from a very collective communist little village in the South. And that concept, self, in China, we only link to self-criticism. Mm-hmm. So self is a selfish concept, which is the opposite of the collective society of China. And I want to write this book to explore what is being self. What I discovered in the West for the last 5 years, self-value is a crucial key social driven for the Western society, mm-hmm. is how you value yourself. And as artist, if your work is self-presenting, is self-soberly thought work or not, or just a mediocre conformist work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a big discovery for me. I mean, intellectually, or of course, emotionally, I understand. So that self-link sexually as well. But on the other hand, I think in this book, sex is a funny joke in the book, because the young character, Miss Z, she cannot identify the commercial industry sex or the true sexual pleasure for herself. She cannot identify, she cannot see clearly. So in this chapter, she went to London Soho to see the beep show, because she's confused of the industry commercial sex, and she takes that sex as a personal need as a young girl. And I think that's very interesting when you're from such a country like China. The overwhelming the supermarket choice in the West,
yeah.
including sex in the supermarket. And that has been jokingly discussed in the book, but it's serious as well, very serious in the
yeah.
book.
Yeah, yeah. Herr Hutsch, warum haben Sie, hören Sie mal weg jetzt, Herr Hutsch, warum haben Sie diese Klischees nicht rausredigiert? Zum Beispiel in Berlin, die junge Frau reist ja durch Europa, in Berlin essen die Deutschen schon am frühen Morgen Wurst. Ja. Stimmt das wirklich oder ist das wirklich nur ein Klischee?
Ich habe selber schon mal erlebt, dass Holländer mir gegenüber auch sagen, typical German, eating a sausage. Wir dürfen ja immer auch nicht vergessen, dass ich am Beginn schon sagte, dass unser Blick auf China ja genau der gleiche ist. Wir denken natürlich im ersten Moment, wenn wir an China denken, an Mandarin, wir denken an Konkubinen, wir denken vielleicht noch an Mao und wir denken an viele, viele, viele kleine, fleißige Arbeiter. Aber die ganze Gesamtkultur dahinter sehen wir genauso wenig. Und ebenso verbildet, verstellt oder irritiert ist natürlich der Blick, den ein Chinese, und dazu brauchst du ja noch nicht mal einen Chinesen, sondern wir können genauso gut einen Amerikaner nehmen oder einen Argentinier, auf die Deutschen sind, auf die Italiener, die natürlich immer groß Amore machen, oder halt die Engländer, die einen funny sense of joke haben oder Humor und deren Essen einfach ungenießbar ist. Also von daher, das sind ja schon alle Stereotypen, derer wir uns selbst immer wieder jeden Tag sehr gerne bedienen.
Is it true that that all people in Berlin eat sausage in the morning at 6?
I like cliché. I really love cliché.
Also Sie finden in Berlin wirklich mehr Currywurstbuden als sonst irgendwo.
I have been eating sausage since I came here. So, but anyway, I think that what's great about cliché is the cliché contains a history and a normal cultural phenomenon. And that I like about it. And I think on a story level, a novel has to be based on a cliché. And what is important is you break it. You break into cliché with your personal perspective. Yeah. And I think people are nowadays so indifferent, cannot see cliché so true anymore. And I think when you understand another culture, like you go to China, you see the clichéness of China. But that actually is a profound phenomenon of China, and you must analyze that in order to understand the cliché, where it came from. So what's a cliché about Germans?
I think that in this book, also ich kann ja auf Deutsch auch mal reden, Himmel nochmal. Also ich denke, in diesem Buch werden schon ein paar Klischees aneinandergereiht und ich denke auch, dass dieses Buch durchaus ironische Brechungen hat, dass es also nicht einfach so naiv daherkommt, wie es scheint, ne? Sondern dass da ironische Brechungen drin ist, denn die Protagonistin will zum Beispiel ein Kochbuch schreiben und das Kochbuch hat den Titel wie man Liebe macht und gleichzeitig ein gutes Essen zubereitet. Das heißt, are you some ironical passages in your novel?
Oh, I think I always make joke of a very serious thing, but when I think...
The cookbook, I said the cookbook, what is it in English? Hier, übersetz mal, wie ist das, wenn man gleichzeitig Liebe macht und anzieht?
He's talking about the title of this cookbook. It's how to make love and also prepare a good meal.
I respect everyone write a cookery book here. I respect it. And I respect as well people write about sex, how to do sex. Anyway, we need that kind of book sometimes. But I think... If you're a great cooker, do it. Just cook it. Cook it for people. Because I'm a Chinese peasant, I prefer do things. But anyway, that was a kind of big joke. In the book, because when I grew up in China, I think Chinese literature is very serious. We define the literature like Chen Wenxue and Fei Chen Wenxue. Chen Wenxue meaning some sort of pure, serious literature to do with history, and it's pure intellectual value. And in China, the non-pure literature is very, very snobbishly being really pressed. And if you write about cookery, you will be loved, and you have to be wrote pen name. I mean, of course, if I write a cookery book, I have to use some other name. But that concept being changed when I came to the West, and I found people being... The cookery book is so important, and I guess... That's something about cultural difference. Like, if you can discover that in China, it's opposite. It's opposite. But I think nowadays, I think the daily life is so much being discussed because we lack of the contact with daily life. For example, cooking or love, as if those things are disappeared in our culture. And I think that's why maybe those books are so important nowadays, not like before.
Xiao Lu Guo, richtig? Xiao Lu Guo. Die Zeit ist um. Ich hoffe, Sie haben sich nicht so allzu sehr an meinem etwas doch verschrobenen Englisch aufgehalten und haben das hervorragende Englisch von Frau Guo genossen. Es ist erstaunlich, dass Sie, ich glaube, vor 6 Jahren haben Sie angefangen, Englisch zu lernen und jetzt sprechen Sie so gut wie die Engländer selber nicht. Also ein sehr empfehlenswertes Buch, Xiao Lu Guo, kleines Wörterbuch für Liebende, liest sich sehr interessant und hat auch sehr lustige, witzige Passagen, ist aber ein ernster Roman. Dankeschön. Dankeschön.
Thank you.